Blog Talk Radio.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone.
Welcome to the Jewelcast. We are back here for episode number 30, and I think for a first time ever occurrence on the Jewelcast, both of the people who are supposed to be on the line with me to start the show are actually on the line with me to start the show. This is actually kind of amazing. Shang, Eric, I assume that's you.
It is.
Yeah.
At least it's Eric.
Hi,
no,
Eric.
It's me. I just was waiting.
Oh, sweet.
Dramatic pause.
Dramatic pause. I couldn't tell. See if you guys just the pause was so long. I couldn't tell if you couldn't hear me or if
Well, I thought every Jewelcast had to start off with a long pause.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, it's tradition. But yeah, so I talked a little bit about this in the episode page. But so we switched to an every other week format as. People can tell by now. And, you know, the official switch kind of didn't happen until recently. I don't know if I ever really officially said on air that we're definitely doing every other week now, but it's just like you can only talk so much about one specific team, really. I feel like some of the episodes got a little, like, tedious trying to find something to talk about every week. And then kind of, like, I didn't like bothering people trying to get guests on every single week. So, on top of that, too, I just started a new job and stuff, and, you know, my free time is down a little bit. But, yeah, so now we're doing it once every other week. But if I was smart, I would not have had that included this week because tonight I was at the Garden to see the Rangers and the Panthers, which was Nicole's birthday present. So, yeah. Shang says happy birthday. I was actually a week ago saying, but you're almost on time. but yeah, so that was my birthday present to her, and it turned out to be a very good choice on my part because the Rangers crushed them 6-3. It was actually a fantastic game too. Like just as far as both teams were super sloppy defensively, and especially in the neutral zone, and it felt like a breakout pass that got through like on every other shift. There was, like, tons of breakaways. Rick Nash scored, like, a really beautiful goal. It was a pretty great game. Probably one of the big games I've been to in a while, probably. But as far as, like, excitement.
No, the opposite of every Kings game, pretty much.
Basically. it was a fun game. Although the Rangers-Kings game I went to last year was not anywhere near this wide open, but it was way more wide open than you'd expect for a 1-0 game. Like, both teams actually, if I remember correctly, had a ton of scoring chances and stuff. So it was one of the more wide-open Kings games I've ever been to. But, yeah. So the game tonight was pretty great. There was this one really loud Florida Panthers fan in our section, and he was wearing, like, a camo Panthers jersey, and I was just like, wow. So, like, he exists, and he's wearing camouflage, I guess, because he's trying not to let anybody know he exists. But then he was really, really loud when the Panthers scored a couple times in the second period. I don't know. Like, that was just really random. Did not expect to see a Panthers
fan.
Sorry.
How many Florida fans did you count?
In our section, it was him, his girlfriend, and I think...
Oh, just in general, yeah.
Yeah, like one other guy. Not really that many. But
yeah.
Just, I didn't really expect to see any at all. So, like, it was just...
Well, at least he came out in fourth.
Yeah. And then he saw his team score some goals, I guess, best he could do. I saw Willie Mitchell, obviously. That was kind of cool, I guess, although I didn't really notice him do much of anything other than, you know, be Willie Mitchell. But, yeah, that was it was a fun game.
What did you think of the defenseman, Ekblad?
Aaron Ekblad, I didn't really notice him at all either. I liked – the one I noticed the most was probably Erica Branson, and not in a good way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Because he seemed to have a lot of, like, mental lapses in the neutral zone, especially, and it seemed like every time he was out there, the Rangers were getting a lot of really – like really easy, crisp breakout passes, and they were getting in the zone pretty easily. But what are you going to do, I guess? It happens.
But isn't he a big Canadian and physical, so, and a high draft pick?
I mean,
that makes me think he'll be on the Kings in like 3 years.
This might have been, I don't, you know, people who know my taste in hockey know that I won't complain too much about this. This had to have been like the least physical hockey game I can ever recall seeing that wasn't like a preseason game. Like, there's just no hitting in this game for the vast majority of it. There are a couple little things that finally got things going, but, like, there was, like, I would look up at the scoreboard and see the hits up there and just be like, how have they counted 30 hits? I haven't counted, like, 5. It was just really wacky. There was, like, no hitting at all. So it was a very, very offensive game. Yeah, it was, like, almost All-Star game levels, honestly. Like, there'd be long shifts where just no physical. Well, All-Star, like pre-2012 All-Star game, because at least they still were like defending. Like, did you guys? Am I alone here, or did it seem worse than usual this year at the All-Star game? Might as well talk a little bit about that. Like,
yes,
because it's been a long time since there was an All-Star game, but I remembered there being like more stick checking and more like trying to cut off passes at least, and it didn't even seem like they were doing anything.
Yeah, I can tell you why, because it's been, 3 years since the last All-Star game. So it's not like they – I mean, I don't know. I thought they'd be at least a little more motivated to put on a show, a little more excited to be there, because it's not a bunch of guys who were just there last year. But maybe when you play in the Olympics and then you come back and you're in the NHL All-Star game next year, you're just like, I don't need to put in all that much effort.
It's just – does it really take that much effort to, like, poke check weekly? Like, that's what I felt like was missing. Was like, it felt like they weren't even doing the weak, like, half-hearted poke checks. It was like they didn't even bother this year. And that was the part that got me, because, like, nothing they were doing, I'm not trying to say it was a defensive gem 3 years ago, but, like, there was at least, like, some semblance of poke checking and, like, some semblance of, like, trying to cut off passes. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, like, remembering the 2012 game like better than it was or something, but like it just felt like there was just nothing this year. I don't know.
I don't want to
just remember
it, and I'll reveal that I didn't even watch the game. So.
Oh. Well, I mean, I didn't watch the first period, honestly. I should have not watched the entire thing, but I'm not as smart as Shang is apparently.
Yeah, I just remember, like, Kopitar and Bergeron and Taves, because they're Kopitar and Bergeron and Taves, like, doing the occasional back check, and I definitely saw multiple people doing the sort of, hey, what are you doing? Anytime they had a scoring chance and someone actually broke it up. Poor goalies.
Yeah, that game was, and then you had poor Marc-Andre Fleury, I think, allowed, like, 100 goals in his one period. And it's like, you have people, of course, taking him to task for it on Twitter because he's Marc-Andre Fleury. But it's like, okay, I am not going to get on this poor man's case for giving up a lot of goals in an All-Star game an All-Star game that's making 2012's All-Star game look like a sound commitment to defense. Like, just nobody trying at all. Like, I just can't see getting mad at the goalie for that. But, you know. Or not even getting mad at the goalie, but just, like, trashing him on Twitter. It's like, yeah, he's letting in a lot of goals, but look what's playing in front of him. So.
Yeah, I'm making sort of a weird transition here, but I saw speaking of the goalies just, like, being sort of helpless, there was talk today about the NHL continuing to explore the AHL's overtime system of doing 3-on-3 after 4-on-4. I just wanted to bring it up because I forgot, because I saw someone talking today, like there was an article, it may have been Puck Daddy, but there was an article about, you know, who would be against 3-on-3 overtime, and sort of the universal answer was goalies. And someone was telling a story on Twitter about Dan Ellis, who's now in the AHL, saying essentially goalies have sort of a mutual agreement to keep play going as long as possible at 4-on-4, so they don't have to do 3-on-3. So the goalies, instead of freezing the puck, will just like throw it into the corner as soon as they stop it, because they don't want to face 3-on-3.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
I
read today that Schneider, NHLPA doesn't want 3-on-3 either. So,
I mean, 3-on-3 is always one of those things. Like, it's so rare that when it happens, people get all excited. But I never really feel like it's that exciting when it actually happens. Like, it's never been my thing. It's just like there's just too much ice. There's a lot of people skating around circles trying to figure out what to do. But maybe if they practiced it more.
It sort of feels like a basketball game because as soon as one team gets the puck, then they sort of casually drift up ice. If they have a rush, they'll take the rush. But if the other team falls back enough, then they'll just sort of glide into the zone and start moving around. And it's definitely unique, and I enjoy it. But it's not like, you know, constant fast up and down as I expected. The one time it happened in the Kings this year, that's sort of the impression I got.
All right, guys, I just thought of a genius shootout suggestion. This would be massively entertaining, I guarantee. So instead of the coaches picking their own top three players, the coaches should pick the opposing team's shootout players. So then you pick the worst players. So, you know, let's say like you're San Jose and you pick, you know, Regier, Lewis, and Nolan. Huh? Top three.
And, if you're Sutter, you take John Scott and Mike Brown. And
yes.
No.
And all the way down the line.
Up,
yeah.
But.
Yeah. I think this would be massively entertaining.
You'd also have like half-hour-long shootouts regularly, though.
More bang for your buck, right? I think the fans will love it.
So the I think we're going to end up getting it, though, despite what Snyder said, just because, like, they're at least going to try it after it had such a good effect on bringing down the number of shootouts in the AHL this year. Because, like, you know, you want it, they really need to get the number of shootouts down. Like, the shootout is a joke. It's a joke that it decides anything in the National Hockey League standings. And anything you can do to get as many of them out of the sport as possible. I mean, obviously, I prefer them to just get rid of it and go back to ties, but that's apparently never going to happen. So at least this is something. But and I think the league, there's a lot of people in the league that seem fairly embarrassed by the shootout too and want to like limit it at least, like your Ken Holland types and the like. But yeah, I think we'll get it despite what Snyder said. But I'm not convinced that it's going to be, I mean, it'll be more entertaining than a shootout, I guess. I don't know why they don't just do. Why don't they just try extending, like the 4-on-4 overtime to 7 minutes first, instead of going right to 3-on-3? Like even the extra 2 minutes might make a difference. I don't know, but especially the NHLPA is so against it. But yeah, I just read Snyder's quote, and he said when they brought it up at it, some kind of NHLPA executive board meeting, the room was fairly split. He said. So that's interesting. What do you guys think is definitely going to happen? Do you think it's something the NHLPA will be able to kill it?
I don't know. It does read like what Schneider said, and kind of reads like more like it's like he's negotiating or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like he wants to make a mountain of a molehill, that sort of thing. You know. So.
Yeah. I mean, my history with the NHLPA, like, it feels like the history of the NHLPA and this kind of thing is they at best can get things delayed with a different realignment, but ultimately the league seems to get their way pretty close to what they originally wanted, if not exactly what they originally wanted. So, yeah, I'd be pretty surprised, I guess, if it doesn't end up happening. I just wanted to mention very quickly while we're in this moment that the Oilers are currently beating the Sharks 2-1.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they can do something good for us after the friggin' Jets had to go ahead and lose the Flames tonight.
Well, I'm going to be on Twitter the rest of the night, I guess, because the entirety of Sharks Twitter predicted that they would lose this game, because apparently that's just their thing.
Yeah. Well, they beat
the Oilers.
It's kind
of disappointing that they're not going to get upset about it.
Didn't they beat the Oilers in their last meeting? I feel like they did. I know they lost to them once already, but I felt like they beat them last time.
I think it was earlier in the season.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to take any victory laps yet. It's only a one-goal lead, and it's still early.
They had a lead against Calgary last game.
Yeah, they did. And they blew. They had a two-goal lead against Calgary, and they blew that. So.
Well,
but
San Jose,
yes,
they've won their last two against Edmonton.
The place for where the Kings are in the standings right now is fairly depressing, and they need some help here just to climb back up. Like, I don't know if you saw Twick today or looked at the standings lately, but the Kings now 5 points behind the Flames, which is wonderful. And the Flames, I guess, would have leapfrogged Vancouver, although the Kings would have two games in hand on Calgary still. They're 3 points behind Vancouver now for fourth in division and the second wild card spot, and Vancouver has a game in hand on us. They're 6 points behind the Sharks for second in the division, although we do have a game in hand on the Sharks, which will become two games in hand if the Sharks lose this game. And then, even worse than all that, is the fact that you have Dallas and Colorado, both a point behind the Kings. You have Minnesota, who are 2 points behind the Kings. So it's like the Kings can fall all the way into 12th in the West at the end of the night tomorrow if they lose and Dallas, Colorado, Minnesota all win. So, yep.
But on the other hand, Connor McDavid as your second-line center sounds pretty appealing, though.
That's true.
Dang.
Just look on the bright side, guys. So I think we keep talking about, you know, the Kings, they have to have a winning streak at some point. You know, the team is too good. The underlying stats look too good. But you know, if the Kings don't make the playoffs, we might have to board up our site. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's true though. We did just post another. Eric just did another. The Kings are still a very good team. Post. And everybody probably felt pretty good about it when the Kings were beating the Blackhawks or coming from behind to beat the Blackhawks on Wednesday. And then they had that crappy game against Boston on Saturday, which I honestly, hopefully you saw that game, Shang, because Eric did not see it and I was very drunk. So
I did watch the game. I thought that the Kings played fine, but it was one of those kind of, they didn't play great though. They didn't outplay Boston by much. And, you know, they could have used another save, which they didn't get, you know, so as usual. So, yeah.
Nicole just pointed out that I was drunk and angry. I was angry when the Bruins Bruins beat the Kings, but also angry because the first bar we were in, because we were at a bar in Midtown to watch, well, everybody else there was there to watch the Rangers and, who the hell did we play on Saturday? They play on Carolina. Rangers and Carolina and... I was the lone person there to watch the Kings and Bruins. And somehow the first bar we're in, it did not even occur to me that I'd have a problem getting this game on. Because first of all, most bars in the area have center ice. But the game wasn't even on center ice. The game was on the NHL Network. So I asked them to put it on, and they're like, oh, we don't have that channel. So I'm like, really? You don't have the NHL Network? That may have been the first time I've ever asked for the NHL Network in Manhattan and have them tell me it's not, they don't have it available. So that was amazing to me. So I was very mad about that. But I did convince everybody else to move bars next door so I could get
what,
the
What bar were you
on.
At that didn't have NHL Network?
Well, you know, do you know Stout?
Which one?
Across from MSG? Stout?
No, I don't think so. Okay.
You don't know that one? Okay. Well, it's not Stout. It's like Stout's sister bar that's right next door. But I don't even remember what the hell it's called. Do you remember what that thing is called? It's some Irish word that starts with an F. I don't know how to...
Okay.
Despite having the last name Carol, I have no idea how to pronounce it. But, yeah, it's some Irish bar right next door to Stout that I think is technically, like, owned by the same people who own Stout. And Stout is kind of a famous bar in the area because it's, you know, right across the street from the garden, and it's very, very large. So it's one of the places where you can almost always get a table and stuff. But, like, yeah, I mean, we had to move next door to Stout, basically, so I could actually watch the Kings-Bruins game. And then I don't really remember that much of it because I was very drunk. So
it's too bad we can't shame them publicly on JewelCast.
Yeah. I mean, it boggled my mind that a bar would not have the NHL Network in 2015, especially when you're – it's not like they're one of these bars that wouldn't understand what hockey was, but, like, they advertise about how they're a Rangers bar and they have, you know, like, hockey specials and stuff. So, like, really, you have no excuse for not having the NHL Network in my opinion, anyway. I know Rangers would never be on that network, basically, unless it's, like – No, I don't think that they'd never be on the network in New York proper. But, like, what the hell? You're basically a hockey bar, or you're a hockey-friendly bar. It's like $7, I think, for the pack that has the NHL Network. I don't know what these bars are doing, what that bar is doing. But, yeah. And, by the way, the orders are 3-1 to start.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I think on the note of you were talking about the standings, the general consensus is that no one's really worried about the Flames, that everyone sort of assumes the Flames are going to, you know, go into a huge slump because they've been wildly outperforming their possession.
Flame out.
But
yeah, but by the way, I don't understand that really, because it's not like we've never seen teams wildly outperform their possession numbers and then make the playoffs. We see that almost every year. Who's to say that the Flames aren't a bad team this year?
Yeah, but I think that, well, what's the point difference now? So they have two games in hand, and they're 4 points ahead of us. So even if the Kings only get, you know, 2 points out of the next two games, for example, they've still got three points to make up.
No, they're 5 points ahead of us.
Right. But I'm saying that Calgary's got two games in hand, or we've got two games in hand
We have two games down on Calgary, yeah. So if we win both our games in hand, we'll be 1 point behind them. But, you know.
Right, but even
All right, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, I'm trying to not assume anything because we've been spoiled by the Kings always going on their runs at the, you know, in the last couple months. But I'm a lot more worried about, you know, catching Vancouver or having Dallas go on a huge run than I am about not being able to catch Calgary.
And Minnesota, too, who just went 3-0 last week and have better – Minnesota has is almost 53% in score-adjusted Corsi evens. They have just went 3-0 last week. They're 2 points behind the Kings now, and there's no games in hand there. So, like, Minnesota is a team to worry about, too, as far as team like, –
Yeah,
that's the one
I'm most worried about Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm looking at our games now, and – every team in the Central Division has won at least 5 of their last 10 games. Like, nobody in that division is slumping right now. Whereas you look at the Kings, they've won 2 of their last 10. You know, Vancouver's only won 4. So,
yeah, it could be worse right now. Like, thank God Vancouver hasn't been running away with it. And thank God Calgary had that mini slump a little while ago. So, it could be way
December,
worse.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it awesome that we're counting on Edmonton to save our season?
I mean, yes, as much doom and gloom as there is here, the Kings will still, if the score holds, the Kings will be 6 points behind the Sharks for second in the division with two games in hand on them. So that's, you know, the Sharks will be very catchable still. But the problem, they got to start getting some wins here. Now, you look at the upcoming schedule for the Kings. They're on their East Coast trip right now. So you're talking about a Washington team, I think, is probably a little better than people give them credit for, where I should have looked this up before I came on the air. I can't remember if their fantasy stats are actually any good or not. I think they're pretty decent, but let's take a look.
Yeah,
that's,
I think,
tomorrow
so too.
At 4, that's tomorrow at 4 o'clock Pacific, by the way.
Washington, they've actually lost 6 out of 7, which...
Their even strength score adjusted Corsi is 52.3%, which is very respectable.
They've lost 6 of their last 7. The only one they didn't lose out of those last 7 was the 4-0 shutout against Pittsburgh, and all of their last 6 losses are by 1 goal. So they're not necessarily playing badly. They're just, much like the Kings, I guess, they just have been ending up on the wrong side of close games. So somebody's got to win them all. And then who they got after Washington? They got Florida, Tampa Bay, and Columbus on the road trip.
Okay, well, yeah, Tampa's definitely going to be tough. So.
Yeah, Florida is kind of slumping too. I think, did you say that, that Florida's slumping? I just saw them play live tonight, obviously, and they did, you know, they had a good forecheck and stuff, and they looked good offensively. But like I was saying before, their defensive zone coverage, and especially their neutral zone play, did not look good at all. They just had a lot of weird spacing problems. I don't know. I don't want to judge them too much based on one game, but I totally forgot the Kings are playing them this week. So I looked at the schedule. But they've fallen a bit out of the race. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, they've fallen a bit out of the race. They're 8 points back now.
Yeah, and they're 8 points back, and they're in ninth place. So the East is kind of hilarious right now because we're already 98% sure which teams are going to make the playoffs out of the Eastern Conference.
The East has a lot of separation right now for sure. The Florida's still 52.3% score adjusted Corsi team at even, so still a little dangerous. That's still both the Panthers and the Capitals, by the way, better than the Sharks and the Ducks. Better than every team in the Pacific in this stat, then, except for the Kings. So, just wanted to kind of point that out because it's funny.
So, we're going to lose.
The Pacific is. Sorry? What was that, Shane?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just said, so we're going to lose.
No, I don't know. I would actually be pretty surprised if we lost both of those games, but I guess we'll see. But obviously, Tampa on Saturday. Tampa's a legit juggernaut. They have the best score adjusted Corsi in the league. They have a 1.1% gap right now in Chicago. I didn't realize the gap was this big now. 55.8 to 54.7. Yeah. So there's a big gap there. Tampa's a very good team. That's going to be a tough one, especially in Tampa. Is their home record still something crazy? Let's see.
21-4-1.
Yeah, 31.
So, yes.
Yeah. All right. Nice.
So they're only 500 on the road, though. That's wacky. 11-3 on the road. But yeah, their home record is ridiculous. So, best of luck to the Kings in that one. Hopefully they can beat the Capitals and the Panthers. That's all I have to say.
So Washington, Florida, Tampa Bay, Columbus. How many points are you satisfied with on that trip?
6.
Yeah, 6.
Yeah, I'd be okay with 5, but I think...
I wouldn't even be okay with 5. I think you need to get 6 somehow. Mm-hmm. I think you need to win 3 out of 4. Because Columbus should be automatic.
Yeah.
Okay? So then either... You're telling me you're either going to beat Washington and Florida, two teams who are struggling, even though they are. The underlying numbers say they're a little bit better, but they're both struggling.
Yeah.
Or you're going to beat one of them and upset Tampa. Or you're going to... beat one and lose to the other and Tampa in overtime. So 6 is acceptable to me. Any of those things are acceptable. 5, I won't be terribly upset or anything, but it's still, what's it called? I'd still be pretty disappointed.
Yeah.
Especially with where they are in the standings, where they need the points. But, but anything below 5 is just, they need to get it in gear here.
Right, of course, it's ambitious for a team that's only won 5 road games all season. But I think anything, if you win 2 out of 4, then you're not out of it by any means. But I wouldn't love to see 3 out of 4 wins.
You know, it'd be really cool.
What's that?
4 out of 4.
Yes.
4 out of 4. That'd be really cool.
What was the year that the Kings went 5-0 on the road on the East Coast? Was that might have been 2010? I think Simmons was still on the team, but they had one year where they were sort of floundering and threatening to fall out of the race, and then they won 5 in a row on the road, and that kickstarted everything.
Yeah, maybe.
One of those Murray years. Yeah. wasn't there?
So
I'm probably remembering too far back, but I went to a game, I think, on that road trip. I went to a New Jersey game where they were down like 2-1, and the Kings were down 2-1, and then they scored with like a minute left to tie the game, and then they scored another goal, like in overtime,
yep,
or something like that, right?
Yep, that's the exact trip I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I went to that game, and then at the end of the game, there was a booger on the back of my Gretzky jersey.
Really? And the, let's see, I don't, yeah, the year after that, checking pack schedules, or past schedules, and the year after that, they had a 10-game road trip, February 1st to 23rd, and they actually won 6 out of 10, despite being on the road for 3 weeks. So, February, I guess, and that, yeah, that was in February, so, you know, there's precedent. Last year, they had a 6-game road trip, and they went 2-4. But then they ended up doing well on the road for the rest of the season. So
yeah, there just doesn't seem to be a reason for them to be so so poor on the road. So just something has to turn. Same thing with the PK. There's just no reason for the PK to be so bad.
Well, if you want to, you know, chalk it up to missing defensemen, especially Roy Mitchell. That was the one thing I talked about a little bit in the article I wrote, is that I don't think the Kings are a top 5, top 10 PK team anymore. They're not as bad as they've been, but they, you know, I don't know whether they've got a worse save percentage this year, and I don't know whether that's random or whether that's Quick being forced to face tougher shots, but it's definitely not like clicking on all cylinders right now.
Yeah.
Or any cylinders.
I think they should work their way back to average, though. I mean, I think, you know, the last, you know, 20, 30 games when it struggled, you know, they've killed like 65% of the penalties, and that's just ridiculous. That's like expansion level, so.
John, what do you think?
I don't know. I was busy getting annoyed with Twitter, honestly. I didn't really hear you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the Sharks are losing 3-1 to the Oilers. And two Sharks fans who people will know on Twitter, I don't even want to give them any name drop at this point. I'm kind of annoyed. Are trolling the Kings about being 5 points out of the playoffs now? Okay. Like, your team is currently losing to the 14-15 Oilers for the second time this year. I don't know. Just
hey, I like the attitude. Don't focus on the Oilers and put in a hand. Focus on something else and lose the game. That works for us. So.
I guess.
Okay, we just need to focus inwardly. We need to make this team better somehow.
And by the way, the Kings are gonna make the playoffs, people. Come on. Are we?
I don't know, man. I think after today, I'm worried that it's going to come down to one game, and then we're gonna lose on some funky call because we made fun of Bettman's shoes.
Maybe. Very possible.
I mean, I think this is very, very possible. So I don't think we should have gone there. So he's a very powerful man. I'm reading a book called on his rise in the NHL, Gary Bettman. So.
Really? I read a book on Bitcoin over the weekend. That was interesting. Do you know what I would advise people not to invest in?
Bitcoin?
Do not invest in that quote-unquote currency. Let's talk about Bitcoin.
Yeah, the
hockey.
The book's called The Instigator, How Gary Bettman Remade the NHL and Changed the Game Forever. So it's pre-2012 lockout, but it's pretty good so far, though.
Well,
yeah.
I should warn you guys in advance that the last game of the season is indeed against the Sharks. So,
so you're saying the Kings are going to eliminate the Sharks from playoff contention?
Yeah. The Flames are going to win 19 out of 20 going forward because sometimes hockey isn't fair, and San Jose and LA will battle it out for the 8th playoff spot.
Wait,
yeah,
will it be in San Jose?
What was that? Yeah.
Is the game going to be in San Jose?
Nope, home game.
Oh, darn. I wanted to be in San Jose, so then the last shot of the season for San Jose would be a shot of other division banners. So other six or seven perfect little division banners.
Hey, if you want to risk the last game of the year being a road game, then go right ahead.
I shouldn't even say anything now because people can hold this against me, but I would really be surprised if they actually need to win that game to get in. But I guess anything is possible.
Well, I've gone on record saying I think they'll make the playoffs. Andrew's gone on record pretty much after every loss this season on Twitter saying the Kings are still in the playoffs. So we're throwing all our money in the middle here.
I wonder what the highest, like, even strength Corsi percentage to miss the playoffs in a season would be.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Because LA right now is at 54.4. If you remove the score-adjusted aspect, just raw even strength Corsi, they're 54.4. I'm going to go back very quickly live on the air and see if I can figure out the highest percentage team to miss the playoffs.
Start with
New Jersey last year and go from there.
Yeah. New Jersey last year is pretty high. They have to be. Let's see. Last year New Jersey missed at 54.4. Which is exactly what LA has right now. So,
also gave Martin Brodeur like 25 starts or something.
That's true. But we are going to give Jonathan Quick a lot of starts.
Oh, no.
55 starts.
That's true. Nicole just pointed out, too, we also have all those shootout losses in common with the Devils.
Mm-hmm.
So,
God.
The Devils, the Kings are, in fact, the 2013-14 Devils.
John, you said 30 seconds ago the Kings were going to make the playoffs. You can't scare me like this.
All right, so there you go. I answered my own question very quickly there.
Yeah.
The Kings are very capable of missing the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to. The end. Blind optimism.
All right.
If nothing else,
well,
I will be there. I will be there in the building for 3 Kings games next month. Actually, more than that, because, okay. Nicole and I are traveling to the great city of Los Angeles next month, this month now, the very end of this month, and we're going to see the Kings and Ducks in Anaheim, and then the Kings against the Habs and Penguins at home, and then later in March, we're going to see the Kings when they come out here, probably at least the Rangers and Devils games, and the Kings actually have a very good record when I'm there. Like, I think I've only ever seen them lose, I think, in Boston. I think it's the only live game I've ever seen them lose is in Boston.
Weren't you? I brought this up in my
Devils,
article today. But...
Yeah, and game five against the Devils in the 2012 Stanley Cup Final too. I think that's it.
I brought this up today, but John, weren't you there when Marchand scored that crazy goal?
I was absolutely there.
Yeah,
I was absolutely there for that. Yep, that's the only regular season game I've ever seen the Kings lose live. Because they swept the New York, New Jersey, Long Island thing last year. I'm trying to think.
Not bad.
There might be something I'm forgetting. Oh, I think I saw them lose to the Islanders once, too, maybe. But in general, their record is very good when I'm in the building.
Huh.
So they have a very good chance of winning a whole bunch of games in the month of March.
Okay.
So. That'll be good.
As long as we're talking about the Kings winning, maybe, instead of losing, what did you guys think of the Chicago game?
It was good. I don't know.
good.
It was kind of a back and forth, you know, reminded me of the playoffs last year. You know, it looked like it was earmarked to be another one of those games where the Kings, you know, played pretty well, you know, match Chicago chance for chance, but they lost, you know, but, you know, it looked like another one goal loss, and they happened to get a couple of, you know, kind of, we wouldn't say lucky goals, but, you know, they got some bounces there, you know, and, it's gone so much against the Kings this year. And then you would think that at some point, just a few more bounces will come. They don't look really much worse or better than they have in the last month. They looked pretty good the last month overall. And
And it's kind of a confusing one because last year when this whole January slump was happening, it was when they were scoring like three goals in six games combined. Like, it was really easy to just sort of go, okay, well, you know, the Kings aren't scoring. That's the problem. And whether you wanted to chalk it up to, you know, they were just getting unlucky with their shooting or they needed more offense, everybody sort of agreed what the problem was. And now it's just sort of all over the place.
Yeah.
I just really like having Toffoli back. That's all I can say.
I just like, by the
yeah,
way,
no,
Sharks fans on Twitter are basically celebrating being dead inside. It's amazing. Just want to point that out. They're like, well, Sharks are losing the Oilers. We don't care. It's great. I'm like, okay. Well, just because you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. You know, in terms of Toffoli, you know, I was more worried about losing Toffoli and Pearson for an extended time than the defense, the penalty kill, or the goaltending. Because, you know, I feel like those three things will at least rebound to, like, average. And the defense actually has been good overall this year, at least the last 30 or so games, you know, based on, you know, score-adjusted Corsi and scoring chances. You know, they've you know, pretty much dominated those categories, actually. So, you know, but then you lose, you know, guys like, you know, Pearson and Toffoli, who drive shots, play offense, and you replace them with, you know, Andreoff and Nolan and, you know, guys like that. And it's, you know, you basically gutted your bottom six, basically.
Yeah. And Pearson's not going to shoot, what, 20% or whatever he's at for the entire season, but he kind of, you know, he and Toffoli are, you know, whether you want to call them snipers or whatever, they, you know, the team has been shooting better anytime Toffoli's been on the ice since he started.
Yeah.
And Pearson is sort of the same way. And that's, you know, why people were so high on Gabrick last year, is because Gabrick had a history of doing that for his teams. And it's too soon to see whether, you know, a guy like Pearson can do that. But Toffoli's sort of on that path too, where if you have a team that is really struggling with their shooting percentage or just can't seem to, you know, to bury pucks, you put Toffoli out there, you have a better chance of doing it.
Yeah, but with Pearson too, you know, I wasn't talking too much about the shooting percentage, you know, because yeah, that is too high and it's not going to last. But just, you know, he, you know, with his speed and when kind of nothing is going on, you know, he had the kind of the speed and kind of the, you know, the aggressiveness to, you know, to create shots and create offense for the Kings when they were kind of, you know, in a funk, you know, during the game. And they'll need somebody to kind of step up in that spot. You know, I know, you know, we have Nick Schroer up right now, and I'm not really sure if it's a lot to put on him too. He's not going to be Pearson, of course. So I'm not saying that he has to be Pearson, but they might need to trade for somebody to just kind of so you don't have kind of like, well, Jordan Nolan in that spot, basically. So.
All right. So is there anything else we really need to touch on here before we wrap up this week's episode? Unless someone wants to call in. So the phone number, by the way, is 347-850-1179. Not that anyone ever calls in when I say that, but perhaps you're home from work and you're usually at work when we do these episodes and you wanted to call in to the Jewelcast for the first time ever. Here's your chance, sir or madam.
This episode is a West Coast special, so at a late hour for our West Coast
listeners. Although, interestingly enough, it is not at all changing the amount of live listeners we have. It's like very slightly up from last week's from the last episode we did, which was like down a little bit, honestly. So really, it's the exact same.
Maybe just a different demographic of listeners.
Yeah.
Well, until someone calls in, I guess just a question for you guys: if the Kings only acquired one player, and let's say it was for draft picks, like, would you? So they don't have to lose anybody in the roster. Would you rather them get a forward or a defenseman?
Defenseman.
Yeah, defenseman.
Okay.
Even though it sounds I'm contradicting myself because I talk about how important the forwards were, but yeah. I'm still looking at I believe the Kings will make the playoffs, and I think the when they get to the playoffs and they play a team against like Chicago, I think a top team basically, they'll need a better defense. So I guess I'm looking more big picture. So still.
Yeah, it's fascinating to think back on it now and think that Regier and Green or whatnot were getting scratched or were sitting out games in the playoffs, because even if, especially if the defense stays intact, but even if the Kings go out and get somebody else, I don't see either of them sitting. And it just sort of is interesting to me that, Regier was a healthy scratch or a mostly healthy scratch last year in the finals, and now I think he's like, I don't think there's anything that's going to get him out of the lineup for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
It's just a different
Robin
thing.
Says she has a writing question since she can't call in. So write it in, Robin. Go ahead. Did he post on the episode page or something? I don't understand.
Well, I have another question. I wonder what you guys are made of Mike Richards are refusing to go to the – or declining the invitation to go to the White House.
Hmm.
I thought that was just him being a little, I'm not on the team anymore, so I'm not going to go. Da, 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 da. I don't know.
Yeah, a little chapped maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's sort of a self-defeating kind of thing or I don't know. I don't think it's a big...
Do you think we need a defensive D-man or an offensive D-man more? Dean Lombardi seems to be leaning towards stay-at-home defensemen. I don't know. I don't like putting defensemen in those categories. I would much rather see them get like what is Anton Strahlman, for instance? He hasn't put up points or anything, but he drives possession like crazy. Like, I want him to get a play driver. I don't really care if he puts up points or not. It's not a big deal to me if he does. I think they need some kind of solid defenseman up for the second pairing, and so that Martinez can move back down to the third pairing because he's clearly not really second pairing material at this point. So, yeah.
I'll go ahead,
Tom. I was just saying, as long as he's good at possession, I don't really care if he puts up points or not. So as long as stay home defensemen does not mean like a fucking slug leg when they trade for Robin Regier. Like, as long as that's not what it means. If that's what it means, then Jesus take the wheel, because this team has a hard enough time with one Robin Regier. We cannot do it with two.
I believe in the Kings. I believe in the Kings, John. So. You have little faith.
I think the way I answer the question is if defensive D-man means somebody who can play on the PK, then yes, defensive D-man. Because the ideal is to get somebody who's, can move the puck and can drive possession and can also, play that type of defensive role. Like, Jamie McBain, he was, really good on the power play, good for, 12, 15 minutes a game, but you don't want him caught dead on the penalty kill. So I think that's what Dean is going to be looking for. Even though I mentioned in the article that a guy like Martinez actually isn't doing that bad a job now being asked to kill penalties, but I think that's where he's going to target the upgrade.
And let me answer the question a third way.
Yes.
So yes, someone on the PK, but also I think that they, I wrote about this a couple of months ago. With the contract they gave Martinez, I think they want him to be a top four person, and I would rather have him in the top four than Regier. And so I would like to acquire somebody that would play well with Martinez, whoever that is. And it wouldn't be a guy like Regier, obviously, because I don't think they match well together. But someone who maybe like a better version of Matt Green, perhaps. Someone who drives play well, but it can be a stay at home, physical, a big dude in the back,
Yeah, I guess. Who is his mythical player though? Oh, Robin said thoughts on Mike Green in a possible trade. First of all, that'd be really confusing.
because we have Matt Green with an E, and then we also have Mike Green without an E. But like,
that'd
I don't know. I'd have to look at his numbers. I have no idea. Honestly, can you imagine poor Bob trying to call that, trying to figure out if it was Matt Green or Mike Green? Like, the poor man is very old. Can we not do that to him?
Yeah, we've already seen McBain and McNabb. We've already seen and I've
Nolan and Kopitar
watching too. Nolan and Kopitar. Yep. So as long as you don't acquire somebody whose number ends in one, I think that's doing Bob a pretty big favor.
All right, the mythical defenseman I will want is a Mac Green squared. So just give me Mac Green squared,
I mean,
and we're all good.
I want Anton Stroman, but we'll never get him. But that'd be my mythical example.
Well,
but I just have no
idea. We missed the window for him when people, or I say people, but I mean more NHL teams, didn't realize how good he was. So there, that's what everybody's sort of been advocating for on Twitter. Is I know I've seen Sakara's name a lot. I've seen what's his name from Edmonton, I think. But Petrie. But guys who, you know, their reputation hasn't caught up with their possession numbers, and that's sort of a lot of those guys I think aren't guys who Lombardi would trust, you know, to play on the penalty kill or to play, you know, up one goal late in the game. So it's interesting if he does go for a defenseman, it's going to be interesting to see which, I guess, boxes he checks off.
Yeah, and I guess assuming the idea that they're looking for somebody to pair with Martinez, I think that they want to put Martinez back on his, you know, regular hand side, and it's a whoever would be on the other side. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but yeah, I don't know who the realistic target is. I haven't seen any, like, I haven't paid attention to trade market stuff or anything, so I don't know. Any thoughts from you guys? Do you have any guys like realistic targets or no?
No, give me 2 weeks, because I think. I mean,
we still
Revere,
got time, right? When the hell was the trade deadline? Like mid March, right?
I think it's March 2nd or something,
or early.
Right, like when Regeer got acquired, we had heard the name a few times. So, once teams, you know, I don't know if any more teams are going to fall out of playoff contention in the next month, because the East, maybe, I don't know, maybe some of the, you know, Florida or whoever is still 9 or 10 points out thinks they have a chance, but I don't know if the West is going to get that much more clear either. So maybe you are picking from Carolina, Buffalo, Edmonton, and Arizona.
Oh, don't forget Toronto.
Well,
Toronto
seems like they're in sell mode already. I don't know. I could see some of these other NHL, these Eastern teams deciding it's time to start selling off if the gap stays around the same. Like, you look at the East, you could see Columbus deciding to sell. Maybe New Jersey, maybe Philly. I think if it gets to double digits for Philly, maybe. Maybe Ottawa, maybe Florida. So that's there are a lot of teams in the East that are pretty far out at this point.
Yeah.
So like, you, so
Cody
like,
Franzen
I could definitely
brought up,
see,
I think, from Toronto.
Yeah. Cody Franzen won't be a bad target. I don't know. I don't know a lot about his fancy stats or anything. But
hey, you know what?
I don't think he would go for him.
I was okay with letting him go, but hey, you know what? Why don't we bring Mitchell back? So.
Yeah. That's the Kings fan stream. But he's apparently doing a great job with Ekblad, so.
Yeah, and he only has a 1 year left on his deal, so yeah, so.
He has 1 more year though, doesn't he?
Yeah, 1 more year. Yeah, this year.
Yeah, I would think the Kings would want someone on an expiring deal, given all the.
Well, John, it's one more year of Mitchell or a 3 year extension for Regeer. Choose.
It's true. But I just mean general because of the cap craziness that they
right.
want someone who's going to be off the books the end of the year. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, and the interesting wrinkle on all this too is, you know, the Kings don't have a lot of flexibility in terms of, you know, cap with who they're going to acquire. But if they throw Richards into a deal, that both limits the possibilities significantly and it increases the value of a guy they can get. I don't think Richards is going to get traded, at least not until the off season if it does happen. But it's the ace up the sleeve, I think.
Okay. I'm trying to think what else. There's anything else we should really discuss? Because, you know, it's 12:30 in the morning out here, and Nicole and I both do our work tomorrow morning. But, yeah, I guess that's about it.
I think we can.
We'll be back in 2 weeks, folks. That's the new schedule.
Hopefully with better news.
So, yes, hopefully with better news. We have to figure out a way to do the show. Well, let me look at the schedule here. If we did every other week, yeah, we would be, it'd be showtime for Monday, March 2nd, when I will be in L.A. Actually, I think still at Eric's. So maybe we could find a way to do some kind of live show with, like, Nicole, Eric, whoever else wants to stop by.
Why don't we do it at the Gretzky statue at Staples Center, right next to Sean O'Donnell and Patrick O'Neill.
Well, we'll plan this out offline. We don't want to get our fans' hopes up too much.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Thousands of fans. So, everybody, look forward to that, maybe. Perhaps you will get to hear. I don't know why I asked. Another thing about this, I don't know what big difference it would make to them if we were all in the same room. But I guess it's something to look forward to.
It would decrease the number of pauses by like 95%.
It would, actually. That's true.
That's a win for
everybody. Have so many awkward. There is a weird delay I've noticed from mine, like the main feed that I hear to the one that gets here, which actually can increase the number of pauses and talking over, where like I'll stop and I'll think you people are not talking. I'll start talking again. It turned out I just didn't hear that you were talking again because you can hear my pause already. So that's the wacky world of Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I think in real life, and maybe Eric and both of you can attest to this, I think I talk over people less in real life than I do on the podcast. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, I don't remember you doing a ton of – I don't remember a lot from our meeting, though, to be honest. That was another one of those
– Well, we won the game. We hung out. What?
I was very intoxicated, if I remember correctly.
Nah, you're good,
on top of the normal – all the normal drinking I did, Shang also bought us like pitchers of beer, which was very kind of him. But
I think it's clear that if we have a live podcast on March 2nd, that we should do it at a bar or someone's house.
I guess so.
With whiskey.
I don't know. We'll figure this out. I guess.
Yes.
All right. Until then, everybody. 2 weeks from now, we'll have another episode. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. See you next time.
Good night, John.
Thank you to Eric and Chang. Good night.